This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 1.
Oh, my goodness. Long night for the Clemson Tigers in the Superdome, West Durham.
Yep.
Congratulations to LSU. They proved they were the best team in the country.
Yep. 42-27 the final last night inside the Superdome here in New Orleans. Interesting ball game. Adjustments, in-game adjustments, halftime adjustments. But the Heisman Trophy winner, Joe Burrow, has a fabulous night. Playmakers on the perimeter. Clemson had some moments early. Tigers had a hard time matching some of the LSU success, especially on things like third down last night. And the one thing you have mentioned for 16 days, red zone.
I thought that was going to be the game.
Yep.
Who was going to win the red zone opportunities? LSU goes really technically 4 for 5, but really 4 for 4. They took a knee to end the game.
Mm-hmm.
Four times in the red zone, 4 touchdowns. We talked about this for 2 weeks on this show, whether it be here or on SiriusXM. 7s versus 3s. For Clemson to win the game, they had to have the same recipe they did against Ohio State, and that is, hey, you're going to give up yards, let them get in the red zone, stop them, force field goals. LSU was just too good. At some point in time, you tip your hat and you say, you know what, the better team won last night, and I thought the better team did win last night.
Yeah, Joe Burrow, 463 yards of passing last night, 5 touchdowns, ran for another score, seemingly made all sorts of plays, and I think you'll hear a lot about the playmaking ability of LSU last night offensively. One thing you also ought to consider is that, you know, the Tigers were able to make some plays defensively last night. It was an uncomfortable night for Clemson on the offensive side of the ball because seemingly, Mark, after the first couple of possessions, yeah, there were moments here and there were moments there, but there was not a rhythm last night to Clemson's offense that maybe we had seen most of the year.
Well, that's where you give LSU credit.
Yep.
Bottom line is you could not have really scripted a better start to the game. You knew there was going to be a ton of energy. You knew the crowd was going to be into it. You knew LSU was going to be eager to get fired up. Clemson scores first. Clemson's up 17-7. They confused Joe Burrow a little bit first couple possessions. Field position was absolutely critical. Clemson did a great job keeping them hemmed inside the 5-yard line. So the start could not have been any better in terms of what Clemson was doing. But again, you mentioned adjustments. One of the things that Clemson's done such a great job on for the last couple years on during this 29-game winning streak is making adjustments. And you knew there was going to be a cat-and-mouse game. I thought one of the issues, too, last night that Clemson had was the defensive line, which if you had to pick something
right
on Clemson's team where you said, hey, listen, from a depth standpoint, certainly not as good as they were a year ago, even though that was the number one ID going into it, Clemson's defensive line wasn't able to just say, hey, listen, we could put pressure on Joe Burrow.
Yep.
They had to send the house. You knew Brent Venables was going to have to kind of create something. But, again, you know, this is why we play with great teams. LSU did a tremendous job figuring it out, and when they did, off to the races. Late first half was the difference in the game.
And it's an interesting ball game, and I use the word rhythm for Clemson's offense. Likewise, maybe you could use it also for the Tigers' defense last night. Seemingly, they started out first couple of series. They were able to find their legs a little bit, get around Joe Burrow, force the movement in the pocket. However, as the night went on, that pocket wasn't collapsible. In other words, Burrow was getting away from it, making throws, as you've seen time and again during the year, using his feet. And the amazing thing, I was telling you this on the ride over this morning, never takes his eyes off the field. Really a gifted, gifted football player. You can see why he was so successful this year and what Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady put together for him. But storybook night for LSU. They get the national championship for Ed Orgeron, the coach of the Tigers and things like that. And Clemson, yeah, tough night. 29-game win streak goes by the boards. A lot of things that were in play, 3 titles in 4 years and all those things. But, you know, as we'll talk about in the show today, Tigers don't look like they're going anywhere. In fact, you know, there's some early, way too early, top 25s that already have them at number one. So we'll see what this means for Clemson. We'll talk about that with Andrea Adelson, bottom of the hour. Roddy Jones and Eric McClain join us for full hours as well before we wrap our coverage from New Orleans here this morning.
I know when we were going through Bark and Bites, I think one of the questions we had was there going to be a team that would score 3 times in a row.
That's right, we did. In fact, Josh Macri and I were talking about that last night.
If I'm not mistaken, that was one of our questions. And to me, that was the stretch. You know, Clemson's up 17-7. Yep. One of the things we talked about a lot yesterday was Clemson had a chance to taste their blood in the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. How did they respond? Well, you saw the answer. Down 16-0, they come back and win the game. LSU had led for 25 consecutive quarters, had not failed to lead or never was behind in the fourth quarter. If we ever got into a situation where LSU was behind, how would they respond?
Right.
Well, you know what? Here's how they responded. Clemson's up 17-7 again. Perfect start to the game if the Clemson Tigers. What else you do? Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Three straight scores. I thought the one score right before the end of the first half was a killer, Wes.
Yeah.
You know, it's 3rd and 10. Joe Burrow makes a great run with no timeouts left, gets the first down, and then bam, Moss, another guy we talked about a lot, the tight end, wide open for the touch. Here's the play right there at the end of the first half. I thought that was just a crushing touchdown. But, of course, Clemson comes back third quarter. They score, get the two-point conversion. It's a 28-25 three-point game with about 10 minutes to go in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. But, again, I just never got the sense that Clemson had LSU figured out once LSU got into rhythm. And, again, you tip the cap to LSU. Just a magical year. And when you knock off 7 AP top 10 teams, you know, that will go down as one of the all-time great teams.
What surprised you the most last night in the ballgame?
Well, 1 for 11 on third down.
Yeah.
But the red zone, I just thought that was Clemson. What Clemson's strength was versus LSU going in the game was number one offense against the number one defense. I figured LSU was going to go up and down the field. I thought Clemson would too. But when you got into the red zone, that to me was where the game was going to be won. And LSU goes 4 for 4, all touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a ball game, man. That's big.
We've got some big picture college football. Obviously, another team goes 15-0 and wins a national championship, just like the Tigers did last year. Second team in the modern era to do it in as many years. All of those things coming back into emotion last night after the ball game as Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney got to the press room.
Well, first of all, obviously a disappointing night for us. Not the way we envisioned it going, but let me just first say I'm incredibly thankful for our team. I'm thankful for our team. I'm thankful for God's grace for allowing me to be a part of such a special group of people, coaches, staff, and players. And just an unreal year. I mean, incredible. It just incredible year. 2 years. We've won 29 games in a row. It's been a long time since I've stood in front of a team with a loss. And but this team in particular, just really special. Coming into this year, you know, 80 freshmen and sophomores out of 120. To get back to this point, I'm just super proud of them. It's incredibly difficult to even get here and super hard to win it, that's for sure. But I'm proud of our guys. Incredible leadership and focus all year long. And, you know, a lot of history made by this group. And forever grateful for these seniors. These seniors, what an amazing group of young people.
Great stuff from Dabo Swinney after the ball game last night. Andrea Adelson joins us bottom of the hour. We'll talk to her. She followed Clemson through the post game last night. Interesting reflections online at ESPN.com. We'll talk to her, as I said, coming up.
Not surprised by Dabo's comments at all.
No.
Class, you know, gave credit to where it was due.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right about his seniors. I mean, we've talked about what this senior class has done versus the rest of the ACC.
Right.
And they won 2 of the last 4 national championships. And, yeah, disappointed that you could make it 3 out of 4. But any conversation about, well, the Tigers are done, catch you guys later, wrong answer.
Yeah.
They're going to be the team to beat, obviously, in the ACC. There's already people you mentioned the way too early. The top 25's out, and Clemson's the favorite on that front. It'll be interesting to see what happens with some of the juniors in terms of the decisions that are going to be made. I thought the other thing, too, that was interesting last night, and we kind of saw this a little bit about the Fiesta Bowl, was Clemson's wide receivers had a tough time getting some space. Right? The defensive backs at Ohio State did a great job shutting them down. And I thought last night LSU's defensive backs did a tremendous job. It was tough for Trevor Lawrence to find space. He had to force things. And then all of a sudden when you fall behind by 2 scores, you really have to force things. 13 overthrows last night.
Yep.
Really out of character. But really, again, you credit the guys that you were playing against because LSU is really, really good.
Mark, are you surprised ETN didn't touch it more in the ground game?
You know, one of the things we talked about, all of us, with all the different shows here in New Orleans, was the best way to make sure that Joe Burrow and his Frisbee catching dogs don't score is you don't give him the ball.
Right.
To do that, you set up the run, move the chains, eat up some time. But I think at the end of the day, Wes, after watching that game, you know, I just think it's all about matchups. And Clemson did not match up with LSU.
Right.
Right. And I just think part of that is Clemson's defensive front, which again, not as good as they were a year ago. They had to put so many guys in the box to create issues and pressure on Burrow, and Burrow was so great. I mean, let's be honest. He was absolutely as good as advertised. You've watched him all season long. He handled it. And once they kind of figured out what Clemson was doing, they got into a rhythm, and I'm not sure Clemson really had an answer for it.
Yeah. Lawrence, excuse me, was clearly frustrated last night. And it happened kind of in a progressive way as the game went on when LSU was making those adjustments you were talking about. And you could tell when he cut passes loose, he would talk to his linemen or talk to receivers with a lot of hand gestures, things of that nature. So that was definitely something that was, unique to Clemson this year. But then there was the throw where it looked clean to start, and then all of a sudden a hand would get in the way or a player would get in his vision, that kind of thing.
But, Wes, all these highlights you're looking at right now, guess what? Nobody's open.
Right.
You know, Trevor Lawrence had to absolutely pinpoint a spot and hope that there was something there. And, again, you know, you played this team in LSU. They're the number one ranked team for a reason. They scored a ton of points, but I thought defensively they did a really nice job against Clemson's wide receivers. And, you know, this will be something that Dabo and his guys will take back home and go, guess what?
Yep.
This is where we get back to work. And, hey, there's no shame in going 29-1. Raise your hand if you'd like to be that guy. Everybody would be. You know, last night, as Dabo pointed out, LSU was the better team when it mattered. And that's basically what this is. And you tip the cap to LSU. They had the home field advantage. They played great after the slow start. Mm-hmm. Clemson gave them some issues early. Again, it was still a 3-point game in the third quarter. And I thought if the Tigers, the Clemson Tigers, were going to make some noise, Wes, when it was 28-25, you get the stop, you get the ball back, you had to do something with it, right? And that never materialized.
Right. Well, and that part combined with what you were talking about late in the first half where LSU sandwiched the drives at the end.
Which is what Clemson has done brilliantly during this stretch.
Right.
Dabo talks about the last 4 minutes of the first half, the first four of the second half, that 8-minute window.
Right.
LSU maximized it.
Yeah, I think there's all sorts of little ingredients to this. And remember we had talked about coin tosses and things like that, and LSU won the toss and elected to defer, and sure enough, it was going to play right back to them. Give Clemson the credit for getting the stop to start the second half, because based on the way the first half ended, LSU could have thrown the knockout punch there.
Well, they stopped in the first two possessions of the game and the first two possessions of the second half. And like I said, you couldn't have scripted a better case scenario for Clemson walking into that environment thinking, hey, you're going to have to weather the storm in the first quarter. They more than weathered it. They took the lead, and all of a sudden they extended the lead from 7-0, ties it up, they score 10. You're up 17-7. How would LSU respond? Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. That's how you respond.
By the way, a couple of notes here before we get to our first break. Travis Etienne did have 78 yards and a touchdown last night, becomes the first player in Clemson history to run for at least 4,000 yards in a career. And, of course, the other part is Trevor Lawrence saw a lot of streaks snap last night, the winning streak being one, but also consecutive games with a touchdown pass, things of that nature. And if you were with us yesterday or last night, during the Huddle pregame coverage, Lawrence is now 77-3 as a high school or college starter, which is pretty solid.
Listen, I know Clemson fans are bummed out. I get it. You know, but to think that, hey, you're not going to have a chance to be back, I like your chances to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're still the king in the conference. I don't see anybody sneaking up on them unless they stub their toe. From a national perspective, you bring in a number one recruiting class. So for folks that are saying, oh, man, it's the end of the Clemson streak, I don't think so. I think that this is just part of it. And, hey, there's no shame in getting to a championship game and losing. You lost to a great team last night. And LSU's a great team.
Yeah. Burrow's really impressive and deserves the accolades, too.
No question.
Makes some unbelievable throws last night. And to watch him live is really impressive. And LSU, and by the way, before we go too far in the show, you said this last night when we were on with the Huddle. Clemson fans, sneaky Clemson got in the building now.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
by that.
I knew you were.
It was going to be 80-20. It was more like 60-40, 70-30. But nevertheless, I mean, the Clemson folks have always supported this program. They travel like nobody's business. But we talked about kind of a destiny thing a little bit. It was going to be a great storyline regardless of how this thing played out last night, whether it was going to be Clemson winning 3 out of 4 and setting the bar from that perspective, or LSU, where it's like, hey, it's our turn to win. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? At the end of the night, we get done with this season. Ohio State was really, really good. Clemson was really, really good. LSU, those three teams kind of separated themselves from everybody else.
Yep.
At the end of the night, you know what? LSU won the championship. And, you know, if you're a Clemson fan, again, disappointed, no question about it. Thought you had a chance to win that thing. But the Tigers will be back. There's no question.
Yeah, no question. Some decisions to be made on that roster as well. We'll cover that later in the week, as I'm sure other schools are going through that process as well. By the way, a lot of college football in that building last night. A lot of people around college football.
Big time.
A lot of history in college football. Just the CFP National Championship game, I got to tell you what, it's like maybe second to the Super Bowl. This has become quite an event.
Well, not to mention New Orleans, which did a great job hosting. They always do. It's a great city to host an event like this. I keep telling you, the bigger the event, the better New Orleans gets. But you're right about the star power last night, especially the unveiling of the best players in the history of the game.
Wow.
And everybody on that stage, led by a guy from Syracuse.
Yeah, how about that? Jim Brown, right?
Yep. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Good for him.
We're going to break down the rest of that tomorrow because, as you know, if you follow our show on a regular basis, that was kind of a fiery topic last week. Pac-Man got a little engaged in that.
I did.
Yeah.
And
so we're going
to. I will say this real quickly, not to get fast forward it.
Right.
But Archie Griffin won 2 Heismans. And he wasn't number 1 or number 2. Come on, man. What are we doing?
Again,
Wes?
Again, later in the week. Pack in the CFB 150, top 11.
I'm cool with Jim
25.
Brown, but if you know what? Some dude's walking in with 2 Heismans,
again,
one in each hand.
Yeah.
They went in the top 2.
This one's going to be good later in the week. Just
okay.
A little teaser, if you will.
All right.
Andrea Adelson's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. As I said a moment ago, she spent some time with Clemson last night after the ball game. Just a really, really interesting take on kind of where the Tigers are. So it's a tough night for Clemson. That's the bottom line. But all's not lost, Tiger fans. Yes, you didn't get the 3rd title in 4 years, but you got to the ball game. And we're going to cover that and much, much more before we're done here this morning with Andrea Adelson. So when we come back, we'll continue to talk about the national championship game last night on the floor of the Superdome, some things that happened, and Pac's plea again to change the targeting rule.
An awful, awful rule.
We'll take a break. Packer and Durham on a Tuesday from the Big Easy. On ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham from the banks of the Mississippi, our final show.
Oh, look at this guy.
The Big Easy.
What's this guy do?
This guy's making breakfast for us.
Can I tell you that our Mike Golic Jr., who we were talking to earlier.
A little beignet action there.
Mike Golic Jr. somehow or another found his way into a beignet eating contest yesterday against Joey Chestnut.
How'd that work out?
He took an L.
Why would you take on Joey Chestnut?
You know, like me taking on
Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow in a passing contest.
Yeah, I know we don't have a lot of time for Mike today to come on the show because he's got things to do, obviously, with the Golic.
How many did he put down?
I don't really know, but Jason Fitz told me it ended quick.
Wow.
And Golic Jr. said he took one look at Joey Chestnut, and he said, I've never seen anything like that. I bet you have.
I mean, you're dealing with a professional, man.
That's exactly right.
Come on.
Why would you?
You can't come in there with amateur hour thinking you can eat. Please. Those things are awesome.
That's like some guy who trunk slams it in the parking lot of the local public course and thinks he's going to win the long drive, right?
Right. That's not happening. It's not going to work out well. All right, let's get back to this game from last night.
Sure.
Some good and some bad,
right?
Obviously. Clemson, we talked about the good start.
Right.
The bad part of it was he just didn't have an answer once LSU got into a rhythm. And
that's right.
It's been a problem for everybody in the country. And LSU, as good as advertised, wins the national championship. Again, I thought Dabo Swinney showed a ton of class and typical respect that, hey, you tip your hat to the guy that beat you, and now you go get to work. And, you know, Clemson will take this loss, Wes, much like they did when they lost the national championship to Alabama, and that becomes fuel, right? I mean, they have always had to try to find an edge Well, now they know that, guess what? There's a beast down there in Baton Rouge, and getting LSU will be completely different next year. But for Clemson's perspective, hey, they keep doing what they do, but there will be some added fuel to the fire. You know, again, 29-1 is great,
right?
But they'll remember the one, not the 29 necessarily.
Let me ask you a question. When they lost to Alabama in this same building in the CFP semifinal a couple years ago in the Sugar Bowl.
743 days ago.
Yeah. When you look at that game in comparison to the game last night, that game also, they found a way to kind of regenerate and re-energize themselves. Do you think, based on what LSU did last night, that's what they have to do now too?
Well, I mean, who else can play LSU's game? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, LSU this year had a magical season. I mean, magical coach,
right,
quarterback, stars alignment. I mean, they were just great. We talked about there being three great teams this year in college football. Clemson's still one of those three.
Yeah.
But they will learn from this event last night. And, you know, Dabo will go back to the drawing board and say, hey, you know, where can we get better? I think one of the things that's going to get better for Clemson immediately is the fact that the way they recruited the class that they just brought in is heavy on the defensive line. I just thought Clemson on the defensive front this year, and this is where Brent Venables gets a lot of credit,
right,
because they attack completely differently this year as opposed to what they had last year when you have, you know, those four first-round picks in the defensive line. But Clemson up front, I think, will look very different next year on the defensive front. Now, they'll lose some guys in the back in all likelihood, and Isaiah Simmons is a world-class player. But again, I think Dabo and his staff will take inventory of this game and understand, hey, we did some good things. There's some things that we got caught on that we really didn't have an answer for LSU. But that will fuel this team. We've seen this happen before where they lose a national championship game. The next year they come back and close the deal. As you mentioned, they're already the early favorite. Not that you get into that. Great, whatever. But this is a really, really good football program that will remain that way heading into 2020.
One of the things that you have beat the drum on all fall long reared its ugly head last night.
I know, and I knew it was going to happen. At some point, I mean, it's going to always happen because the rule is terrible.
Right.
Terrible.
Yeah, and you and targeting have been a friend all fall long. It's been a constant. Really, well, like the Saturdays in the fall where we have games, you and targeting.
And just from a Clemson perspective, now here's the play last night, and Skowski, bam, crown on the helmet. Hey, I get it. I know what the rule is. The correct call was made. But I think the rule stinks. And I said the same thing in the Clemson-Ohio State game when Wade made the hit on Trevor Lawrence.
That's right.
Hey, by the letter of the law, it is the correct call. By the letter of the law, Skowski, that's targeting. But I think college football really needs to address this rule. I'm all for player safety, but when you're tossing guys out, hey, that's a, you know what, that play right there is a football play.
Right.
Call a penalty, move the chains, but kicking guys out, whether it be Skowski or Wade from Ohio State, I think it's garbage. I think the rule is absolutely atrocious. Yeah. I really do.
Well, I knew last night when I saw the play occur, I'm thinking, oh, boy.
Well, here's what's funny. When it happened, before there was ever a flag, I'm like, well, that's targeting.
That's targeting, crown of the hell on the side.
No doubt. And, yeah, you know, all of a sudden stoppage of play, and you're like, well, he's gone. Skowski's out.
Yep.
But I just think the rule's wrong. I think that there needs to be a readdressed position in college football that, hey, we're here for the player's safety, but let's understand something. Guys are trying to make a football play. Skowski wasn't trying to decapitate anybody there.
Right.
Wade wasn't trying to decapitate Trevor Lawrence. Hey, it's a flag. It's 15. You know, move the chains, but kicking guys out and all that stuff. Come on, man. We got to be better than that.
By the way, last night I did have a chance to see Rogers Redding, the National Coordinator of Football Officials, and from a distance, Steve Shaw, who great one of the great authorities on all of this. And I was thinking to myself, man, we're going to have targeting tonight so Packer can once again remind us of the perils of the rule.
And
sure enough, we did.
And to be honest with you, it was a big play in the game in the sense that Clemson lost their leader.
Right.
And again, I don't think it would have had any differing of the outcome of the game. LSU was the best team last night. But, that rule is just, it drives me crazy. And it's that way, whether it's a regular season game or much less the importance of the postseason play. But, as a sport, we've got to do a better job with that rule.
Let's get to some Dabo sound here. We do this before we get to the break. After the ball game, he talked about the Skalski ejection and maybe what it meant to his team at that particular juncture of the ball game.
That's football. I mean, there's no excuses. I mean, we're not making any excuses. That's football. I mean, next guy up. In fact, I thought Jake Venables went in there and played well. I thought Jake did some really good things. and got some good experience in a critical game like that. So I hate it for Jamie. He's such a wonderful young man and such a great leader and all that. But, they were just a better team.
All right, that's Dabo Swinney after the ball game.
100% right. No excuses. And Venables did play well mm-hmm. when he came in afterwards. But it did change Clemson's approach a little bit. But, again, it's no excuses is right. I mean, LSU was still moving the football and the right. spread out. I mean, just a brilliant, brilliant team. Yep. Really fun to watch.
So the Tigers win the national championship. Andrea Adelson coming up here with us in just a moment. And we'll cover a lot of ground with her post-game with the Tigers, especially with Trevor Lawrence as well. Three basketball games tonight in the ACC, but we're excited about a new basketball show here on ACC Network. The debut of Packer, are you ready for this? Bald Men on Campus.
About time.
Our weekend studio basketball show. Jay Billis, LaFonso Ellis, and Seth Greenberg preview the weekend's action in the ACC. Comes up at 9 o'clock Eastern, live from the bus. Yep, we started in the basement, and they're trying to one-up us on the Greyhound game day bus, if you will. So Bald Men on Campus. It says here, the follically challenged trio of Billis, Ellis, and Greenberg hosted Friday night, 9 o'clock, right here on ACC Network. When we come back, post-game with the Clemson Tigers, and Andrea Adelson has a very important role on the Packer and Durham show, for which she has been duly noted. She'll share that with us as well when we continue from New Durham on ACC Network and Sirius XM 371.
Packer and Durham, beautiful scene, Mississippi, New Orleans.
Some folks still coming home.
Some folks still looking what is home.
This is quite a city.
It is a great town. I mean, this is really, but it's a 3-2. I told you, it's a 3-day, 2-night town. You go as hard as you can for 3 days, 2 nights, and then you just got to go home. It's time to go home. We got Andrea Adelson hanging out with us.
Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure to represent the running department of Packer and Durham.
Now, show off what we got going on here.
Look at this.
Just for you guys, I had to bring it.
Well, explain to folks what it's going to be. A lot of folks don't know the story.
So this is the Extra Yard 5K, which supports teachers. You do it every year through the CFP. And I have eaten so much food here that I decided I had to do something to at least start to run off all the beignets and po' boys. So I ran the 5K on Sunday, mm-hmm. and I blazed through the French Quarter because I had to get back for the coach's press conference. And I was able to make it on time. So I was pretty proud of myself.
Good and to you. In the process, won a medal for Packer and Durham.
That's right.
Because she is the exclusive member of the running department.
I want this to be added to the basement.
I'll take it home with me, assuming it doesn't get confiscated at the airport.
You have to mail it to us because I don't think that gets through. Because Packer is a complete carry-on, guys.
Well, definitely going to be doing. I just hope to make the flight because I've got some business to attend to with a little radio show in Charlotte this afternoon. But nevertheless, the game last night, bottom line is LSU is really, really good.
Really, really good. And my colleague, Ivan Mazel, has ranked like every team in the history of college football. And so as we were walking downstairs last night, I said, all right, Ivan, tell me, where does this LSU team rank? And he said, 95 Nebraska, 2001 Miami. Mm. That puts him at 3. So to me, this game wasn't really about Clemson. It was about LSU and everything that they were able to fulfill their destiny. Because this felt like a team of destiny throughout the course of the season in terms of the way they were playing, how they were playing, and the championship being here in New Orleans.
And it really felt that way since we've been here. We knew that at the end of the day, whoever won this game last night, there was a great storyline. Is it Clemson winning 3 out of 4 national titles and is a remarkable run continuing? Or is it LSU's time? And quite frankly, LSU outplayed Clemson last night. Joe Burrow was great. By the time they figured out what Brent Venables was doing, they just got on a run. And really, from a matchup standpoint, the Clemson Tigers had all kinds of issues. But it was still a 28-25 game third quarter, but offensively, you know, Trevor Lawrence had a tough night, a lot of overthrows, but give LSU's defense a lot of credit.
No doubt about that, but it wasn't Trevor's night. And when you're going into this game, you know, you have to either match or beat Joe Burrow throw for throw. And Trevor just didn't do that. And he said that afterward. He's like, I wasn't good enough. I wasn't accurate enough. I didn't help my team win this game. 1 for 11 on third down. I think it's the worst in the Dabo Swinney era.
Yeah.
So think about how long that era has spanned now here at Clemson. It just wasn't clicking. I don't think even think Travis Etienne had a touch in the fourth quarter. And so I think when things just started going bad, Trevor was pressing even more than he already was early on in the game, and his guys just couldn't make plays around him either because he wasn't on his game.
Interesting, too, that we are talking about we talked after the Ohio State game that the game was a program win for Clemson as much as it was a team win. It was really about all the things that Dabo had built into their program and the players they had and things like that. I'm always fascinated by this when it comes to programs, right? When Alabama loses last year to Clemson, how does Alabama process that? Now here's Clemson, first loss in 30 games. How do you think the Tigers were processing it last night?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I went into the Clemson locker room. There's only two times throughout the season the locker room's open, semifinal championship game. And this is when you really get a sense for how these players are feeling, because you are in there 15 minutes after the game has
right.
ended.
Yep.
And I was in that locker room in 2017 after they lost to Alabama in the semifinal. And there was devastation everywhere around you. Mm-hmm. The guys are crying. Christian Wilkins just can't handle it. He's crying. This time around, though, there wasn't that same sense of despair. And I think it's because those players all understand that that LSU team beat them, played the better game, and is probably one of the all-time greats. And there's the realization that they're going to be back. Trevor Lawrence is back. They got a ton of guys who are going to be back. They've won 29 games in a row. This isn't the end of the program. They're not shutting Clemson down. And so I think the players, even though they're young guys, kind of understood the magnitude of the game and where it ranks for LSU, and also that we'll be fine. We're going to be fine.
And, Andrew, you mentioned, you know, 2 years ago, same building. They lose to Alabama.
Right.
And, of course, the Tide goes on to win the national championship. I go back to Clemson's first loss in the college football playoff championship game to Bama out in the desert. And it was just that sense of, hey, you know what? We were so close. But you know what? That's going to fuel us. I think Dabo takes this game and has so many learning opportunities for a team, as he's pointed out a gazillion times. 80 of their top 120 are freshmen and sophomores. You throw in a number one recruiting class, come on top of it. Trevor Lawrence will be back with something to prove. To me, this is going to do nothing more than fuel Clemson football for 2020.
No question about that. In fact, T. Higgins said, and we don't know if he's going to be part of this team because he's got a decision to make, but he said, look, the last time we were in here, we went on a 29-game winning streak after that. So we're going to start a new streak. We're going to be back. Everything will be fine. But I was talking to Brandon Streeter, who's the quarterback's coach.
Right.
He's going to be the passing game coordinator now moving forward. I said, well, how is Trevor going to use this? How is he going to get better off of this? And he said, you know what? This is going to be like putting a carrot right in front of his nose, something that he can use as motivation and fuel throughout the offseason. They've been talking a lot about fuel. That's been that key word we've heard out of this team over the last 16, 17 days. This will absolutely be part of it because I don't think Trevor Lawrence, it's going to sit well with him that he played this way against the Heisman Trophy winner, Joe Burrow. That's not going to sit well with him. And so now when he goes in there and they start spring ball in 6 weeks, by the way, he knows what he has to work on. He knows what he has to do to get better, and he knows what he has to do to be able to lead this team back.
Interesting, too, because this is as much about Clemson as it is about, and I said this with Pac earlier, a guy who quarterbacked his 80th game last night as a high school or college starter who's only lost three times.
Yep.
So when the, you know, it's like when the Goliath gets wounded, right? You want to see kind of how the whole thing unfolds. And Lawrence, after the ball game, talked about maybe the disappointment and the frustration of last night's game.
I think they, a couple times, they had us schemed up pretty good, and they stopped us on third down. And then a handful, at least four, were missed throws or, you know, just them making a good play on the ball. So it's just, it's a lot of different things. But, I mean, like I said, just at the quarterback position, if you're going to win games like this, you got to play really well, and we just didn't do that tonight.
Well, we're going to talk more about 2020 Clemson as in relationship to next fall. And, Andrew, you bring up an interesting point about decisions that have to be made. In the ball game last night, and I mentioned this to Mark, I'm a little surprised ETN didn't touch it more. Yep. If I had to go back and kind of say, okay, here are the things, checklist ABC of things that I thought Clemson would do. Why do you think Travis Etienne wasn't a bigger piece of this?
Well, that's a question that Tony Elliott, the co-offensive coordinator, was asked afterward. And I was standing right there, and a reporter said, 20 touches? Is that normal? Is that usual? Would you have liked to have gotten him more? And Tony said, look, 2020, we can always sit here and second guess ourselves. And what happened was a byproduct of the way that the game was going. Mm-hmm. I think they were trying to get Trevor going. I really do. And once they fell behind, then what, you're going to hand off to Travis, or are you going to sit here and try to make some big plays? Because now you've got to try and keep up with their explosive plays. You have to try and match them somehow. And so in the fourth quarter, there just weren't those opportunities that they thought would be there to get Travis involved in the game the way that they wanted to. But I agree with you. I looked at the final stats, and I think he had 15 carries total in the game. That just did not sit well with me, especially with the role that he played coming back against Ohio State a couple weeks ago and what he was able to do there.
One of the things that I thought was interesting now that this college football playoff season is over is Clemson's wide receivers had a really tough time getting any kind of space against Ohio State,
yes.
Right? LSU's got great defensive backs, too. Again, we're talking about three of the best teams in college football, the three best teams
yes.
in college football. The other thing, it'll be another thing in terms of Clemson from an offensive perspective. We know about Trevor Lawrence, and he'll figure all that stuff out. But those wide receivers, you know what? You got to get to work because as talented as they are, as many as Clemson has, they had zero separation in the two games against Ohio State or last night against LSU.
Absolutely right. And those are the two best secondaries and corners, four best corners, I should say, that they've played all year.
No
and
doubt.
So you're talking about, okay, you want to be a next level receiver. Well, you got to beat the next level corners. And that's who they were playing. And they simply couldn't do that. And so those explosive plays we're all used to seeing out of Justin Ross and T.
Right.
Higgins.
Right.
They were virtually non-existent.
Almost all the highlights that we've showed you so far this morning. You know, you look at Trevor Lawrence and people say, well, 13 overthrows. There was nowhere to throw the football. You just got to kind of throw it up and hope your guy goes up and makes a play. But again, sometimes the other guy is talented too. You tip your hat to Ohio State and their defensive backs. And obviously LSU's kids last night played great.
Yeah.
And on the other side of it, Ja'Marr Chase is going against an NFL-type corner in A.J. Terrell, and you saw the separation he was able to get.
Right.
200 and almost 30 yards receiving against a guy who's seriously thinking about leaving for the NFL and is on the bubble between first, second-round draft picks. So if you're a Clemson receiver and you're looking at Ja'Marr Chase and what he did in that game, that's what you need to do. That's the type of separation you need to create for yourself now as you move forward headed into next season.
Well, I'll tell you, the most impressive thing last night seeing them live was their ability, the quarterback's ability to drop it in the box,
yes.
which is number one. But number two, the ball identity, the way they go find the football if you're one of these wide receivers. Now, I don't know if that's Ensminger, Joe Brown. I don't know who that is. But that characteristic about them offensively, to me, is the most impressive thing you see.
It's why they're a special team this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's why they scored more points than anybody known to man. Again, like I said, Clemson's got a terrific football program. And this is a great, great program. It's the standard. But last night, they got beat by a better team. People can spin stuff left and right. At some point in time, you just tip your hat, like I said, and say, you know what, LSU, you were the guys. They were the best team.
And like last season, Clemson was the definitive best team in the country.
Yeah,
and this season, LSU was the definitive best team in the country. And that's okay.
That's exactly right.
It's okay to get beat by a historic team. And so that's why I feel like the locker room, of course, everyone was sad and upset and depressed about it. But at the same time, I think these guys realized, We'll be fine. We lost to a good team that played better than us.
The running department's helping with therapy, don't you think?
Well, there was 8 months of excuses last year after Clemson took Alabama the woodshed.
Yeah.
Right.
Which was embarrassing for people that were running their mouth about it. Because you know what? That night, Clemson did to Alabama what really LSU did to America this year. Hey, there is a number one at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was Clemson. This year it's LSU.
All right, we got a couple things to come back on. I want to dive a little bit more into this way too early top 25 type deal, which I think is hilarious. The second part is this. 2020 becomes what, Andrea, for Clemson? Because as Mark noted before the show, at South Bend, that's where Clemson is kind of right now. And what's the ACC going to provide? We'll get Andrea's quick thoughts on that and more as we roll on from New Orleans. Some are still getting home. Others are trying to find out where home is. Tigers, though, tough way to end the year. We'll come back, talk more. Andrea Adelson to the top of the hour. Then Roddy Jones, Eric McClain are here, and more on Packer and Durham from New Orleans.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham. I do mean Packer and Durham. And Andrea Adelson.
And you mean Andrea Adelson, too.
And Andrea Adelson. Cast of thousands. We're the last ones left in New Orleans.
She's kind of become the show mom, wouldn't you say, Pack?
I wouldn't go there.
Okay, all right. Trying to keep us in line, aren't you?
Mama Bear, that's how I'm going among the staff.
I'm not going to go there either.
All right, Clemson 2020. Mark said before the show, there's going to be, and we can start this on January the 14th, can't we?
That I guess we have to since it is January the 4th.
But the schedule is going to be a thing again, isn't it? And the ACC is going to be a thing, which is also kind of one and the same from this year.
I'm not worried about Clemson.
Right.
I kind of know who they are and with what they've got coming back and everything else. So the Clemson Tigers are going to be just fine. I am more concerned about the rest of the ACC and who steps up. I'll beat this drum until they finally show up. Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech, cast of thousands. Then you got a team like North Carolina with Sam Howell coming back and what Mack's building. You get some momentum there. Does Virginia be able to sit there and bookend what they just accomplished and get better? The Syracuse, NC State teams like that who had down years, can they bounce back? There's all kinds of question marks with the ACC. I think the bigger question for the league is the league. I mean, Clemson's still going to be one of the, you know, number one early, way, way, way too early, top 25, whatever, so all that stuff. We know how good Clemson's going to be. But the rest of the conference has to start showing up and making some noise.
And I think that's why Clemson right now is the preseason betting favorite to win the 2020 National Championship, because you look at the schedule, you look at the teams that they're going to be playing. North Carolina's not on the regular season schedule. They're going to come off, and another coastal team's going to come on.
Right.
They're at Notre Dame.
Yep.
And that right now looks like the biggest challenge on the schedule for Clemson. And so if you're the ACC and you're Clemson, you're probably feeling pretty good about the fact that you can make it back here, because it doesn't look like there's a team right now that's in position to challenge Clemson at the moment. Maybe Florida State will be better under Mike Norvell, I think, but I don't know. I've said this for 3 years. I'm going to stop saying it because I've been wrong. I don't think Miami is in any shape right now to challenge to be a top 25
right.
team. And so, therefore, let's say you've got North Carolina or Louisville and Virginia Tech, let's just say, and Pitt, as the teams that are maybe sort of in the mix.
Sure.
Is that enough for Clemson? I don't know that it is. And so, but at the same time, schedule's not going to matter if they win all their games.
But here's where it does matter. The league's got to get better. League's got to get better. And I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I mean, this past 2019 season, the Atlantic Coast Conference won one game against the final AP Top 25. One. Mm. And that was Clemson beating Ohio State. That number's got to be better. I mean, if you're going to get into the national conversation that your league is making strides from a football perspective, the only way to do it is to beat good teams. And when you look at some of the early games on the schedule, the Atlantic Coast Conference is going to have some opportunities to make some noise and get somebody's attention. But we know about what Clemson's going to be, and that dynasty is still rolling, despite what happened last night. But the rest of the conference has to get better.
You know what's interesting is in 2016, I think we all felt like the conference had turned a corner.
Right.
They looked terrific in bowl season. It wasn't just Clemson. There were a bunch of teams that were up there in the top 25. Great quarterback play across the league. And then everything has kind of fallen apart the last few years, and whether that's because there's been coaching changes or teams have not played to expectations, changes at Florida State and Miami, Virginia Tech maybe hasn't lived up to what we thought they would be in 16
right.
when they were able to challenge Clemson in the ACC championship game. Quarterback play hasn't been as good as it was back then. You wonder, okay, it was there. It was all there in 16, and I think we all thought the league was going to be on the rise and rising up. They were better than the SEC that year. And now they're back to square one almost after Clemson. And so you wonder why and how does it get back to at least where it was in 16 where they had made those strides?
Well, in 16, the league had great quarterback play.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And all that stuff always goes through cycles. I do think there's some guys coming back for next season. In ACC football, from a quarterback perspective, I mean, you got Trevor Lawrence and Sam Howell right off the top that are big-time players. And Howell, after his freshman year, spectacular. And again, Trevor Lawrence, he'll learn from what happened last night, and we know how great he is. But my concern for the conference is not with Clemson. The Tigers are just going to be just fine. But the rest of the league really needs to step up.
All right, so we're talking about the top two, and there's no question those are the top two quarterbacks. Now look across the rest of the league. Who's the third best quarterback in the
SEC? Well, I think there's a lot of really good conversation to be had about what happens in spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some coaching changes. You mentioned Miami. Rhett Lashley's arrival for Manny Diaz comes at really kind of a critical time when you think about where Miami is. There was an interesting story out of the Miami Herald yesterday about some of the things going on with Miami, especially at the quarterback position and maybe what that transpires to be. The second thing is this, and this is kind of a transaction line pack. Starling Gilbert got it as an assistant coach at Syracuse the other day. A guy who's been with Dino Babers at what, both Baylor and Eastern Illinois, or in Eastern Illinois and Bowling Green.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, what is Syracuse going to become? And now bouncing back, how do they kind of fix some of the ills they had? New defensive coordinator. Starling Gilbert obviously comes in as an offensive coordinator, named as an offensive coordinator. How does all that factor in? But I think your point is well made here. This league now has to close that gap because to the point you brought up a week or so ago as it relates to Florida State of the 90s and Clemson now, this league does not want to fall into that, you know, kind of crevice that they were in the early 90s, Andrea. It was hard to come out of that, really hard.
It was, and then you had all of that drought during the BCS time when you didn't even have a team that was even trying to play for a national championship, and everyone's making fun of Virginia Tech for their BCS record and all the ACC is a laughing stock. Well, they made strides after that. Florida State was able to do that. They chipped away at it. Now we've got Clemson at least that's in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost back to those days where, all right, somebody else, anyone. I mean, it's open. It's right there for the taking. But I'm with Pat. Florida State and Miami, they have got to be able to turn the corner. But there's 100% no doubt that it's those two teams that everybody looks at when they sit there and they make their judgments about the ACC.
And to be frank, there are no excuses.
None.
I mean, you know, go recruit players. I mean, you got resources, you got tradition, you got history, you got a culture, you got new two coaches now. Hey, go get it. I mean, it's wide open for the taking. But, you know, Clemson's right now on an island in the ACC. The rest of the league really needs to make some strides, big time. And ASAP, too, by the way.
All right, before we say goodbye, and we got to get you on the road to represent the running department of the program again at some point. All right, you mentioned A.J. Terrell has a decision to make. Isaiah Simmons, Travis Etienne, T. Higgins. They've got 72 hours.
Sure.
This late, by the way, CFP title game really pushes them back into the calendar. You have a gut feel on any of this? Any of these guys coming back?
I don't know, because there are so many factors at play here. I mean, I didn't think Marvin Wilson was coming back to Florida State.
Well, we didn't either.
Right? And there he is.
And he's pretty excited, by the way, after our visit last week.
First of all, that interview was fantastic.
Well,
I had a big smile on my face listening to it the whole time.
Yeah, he's great.
He's going to be a great face for Florida State here going into a senior season. But when you look at Higgins and Simmons, you know, where they are ranked right now on the big board, Mel Kiper's got them both in the top 25, among the top 25 players. To me, if you're in the top 25, that feels like, I got to go. I got to take advantage of it. Does A.J. Terrell come back after what happened last night? You know, does that devalue him as a prospect because he couldn't do anything to slow down Ja'Marr Chase? That, I think, is probably going to be a question for him. And then for Travis Etienne, the running back position now, it doesn't have the same type of value in the NFL that it once did.
Right.
Do you just get out now because your shelf life as an NFL player is so much shorter at that position? I don't know. None of those guys were saying last night in the locker room, and they were asked about it, and they've still got time to make that decision. But we didn't think those four linemen were coming back a couple years ago to Clemson, and they did. So nothing surprises me at all when it comes to these guys making their decisions.
I'll say this. I don't know what Travis Etienne's going to do, but if Travis Etienne comes back for college football, that is – and by the way, Chuba Hubbard of Oklahoma State announced last night he's coming back. And maybe there is some kind of – trend for guys coming back, Pac?
Well, when you look at who's already committed to the NFL draft from a running back perspective, it's a full stable. Yeah. So again, I have no idea what these kids are going to do. Whatever it is, I hope it's the right move for everybody involved. Yep. But I'm kind of with Andrea. If you got somebody whispering in your ear that you're a first round pick, man, you got to go. Unless you just say, you know what, I love college life and good for you.
Right.
More power to you.
Which is what Marvin said, and that's great.
Right.
More power
awesome.
To him.
And that rep the spear. Got to rep the spear.
Well, and the fact that he sat missed, you know, games with
oh, yeah.
toward the
yeah.
end, I think probably played a role in that. So I don't know what these guys are going to decide, but like you said, hopefully it's the right decision for everybody involved.
Well, Dabo's got such a great culture there that people love being a part of all of that. And again, I have no earthly idea what they're going to do, but again, I'm not worried about Clemson.
Yep.
I think that the Clemson Tigers are going to be right back in the hunt again next year. I'm more concerned about the others.
Safe travels.
All right,
great to see you. Thank
great
you so much
you
for doing
person.
This during the year.
Yeah.
Just great.
Loved
and
it.
Congratulations on your award and your medal.
I'm donating it to you guys.
Well, that's not a carry-on item. You'll have to mail that, ma'am. We've got basketball tonight on ACC Network, and a good one. Louisville is at Pittsburgh tonight, Peterson Events Center. Cards are 11th. In the latest poll, Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander, Katie George will be there. It's part of a doubleheader. It's followed by Virginia Tech and Wake Forest tonight with Will Fleming and Chris Spatola. We've got more, including Roddy Jones in hour number two of Packer and Durham. We'll break down last night's national championship game, a little bit of the ACC, and what it means for the Tigers. Stay tuned. Packer and Durham from New Orleans on ACC Network, SiriusXM 371, and the ESPN app.